Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris.
What's going on? We are back with another episode of Inappropriate Happiness. And sitting to my left, the most active person in the business these days, Karina Reichman, how you doing?
I'm active, baby. I'm active. How you doing, iBugs? This is great.
I'm good. I was just thinking, you know, since the last episode, you've dropped a lot of news, a headlining tour for the fall, and also done things like play three sets at the Fall of the Arrow Festival. You're headed to Salt Lake City this weekend. It's great to be catching up with you amidst all of this exciting activity.
Oh, it's so mutual. It's crazy out here, right? What the hell's going on? I feel like it's too much information, you know? I'm like, shit, what do I need to tell the people? But yes, no, I mean, the real hot goss of the week, and of course, we're recording this on Friday, June 23rd, right? It might not see the light of day until the following week, which is sort of, you know, common practice for Osiris, right? It's not going to drop over the weekend. So, pardon me if what I say here is old news to your ears of the future, but you know, headlining tour for sure, which is cool. Like, you know, it's kind of funny, Isaac. Like, I've done, you know, compared to all the gigs, I've done so little headlining with my band, truly. Like, we can trace it back, like, you know, I've played in New York, sure. You know, haven't played in New York since Brooklyn Bowl of last year, where this is February of 2022, right? So that was my last New York City show. And it was quite literally, like, right at the time when Omicron was, like, just over, to the point where I was mortified to promote that show at all. You know what I mean? So that was crazy. And then since then, literally, like, we did eight shows last December, right, in the Northeast, in, you know, kind of off markets. Other than that, we did one tour going down south in 2021 that was, like, also one of those tours in May of 2021 where, like, you're really not allowed to be out there at all. We were, like, the first band to, like, brave the, you know, COVID world. Like, it was very bizarre, you know? So, and, like, really, other than that, I've done no headlining. So this is, like, kind of the biggest headlining tour ever for me, which is crazy. And I've never, like, done, it's just feels wild. And, yeah. Baby's All Right is the New York play. We wanted to do something really small and intimate and, like, you know, kind of do that for New York for this time around and make it like an album release party, you know, and that sold out in the pre-sale, which is awesome. And, you know, I'm not a magician, Isaac, but I feel like, or rather a, you know, somebody who predicts things, but, you know, it's Friday right now. I mean, shit, you know, if this comes out next week, like, it could already be sold out. So that is epic. I don't know if that's the case, but it was trending in that direction as of this morning.
If only you were a magician, you would know.
If I were a magician who knew how many tickets my show had sold, that would be great. Yeah, so I'm super hyped on that. That's just cool and amazing, and I'm so thrilled in New York. Like, it, you know, I love you madly. There's nothing I could say to tell you how much I love you, and we'll see what that all looks like come next week. But yeah, it was looking mighty fine. And of course, going, you know, from New York down to Nashville with a bunch of very fun stops in between, meaning, holy shit, I mean, there's a lot of them, but let's see, we've got Richmond, we've got Raleigh, Charleston, Asheville, Atlanta, stuff like that, that, you know, all that stuff. And then on the West Coast, we're going from San Diego up to Seattle, you know, with, it's San Diego, LA, San Francisco, Cave Junction, Oregon, never been there, let's go, Portland, and Seattle. Yeah. And all of this is with the mighty Gorilla Toss, which is a band that I feel like we've talked about on the podcast a little bit before, maybe, but I'm a huge fan. And the idea that, you know, I got them to join me for this is so insane. And it's an alliance, baby. It's an alliance. We are so stoked to be working together. And we've been recording this week some new original music, which we hope to have, you know, make the light of day before the tour. So that's exciting.
Do you think you will cover each other's songs?
Well, funny you say that, Isaac, because they have a song called Plants. And I have a song called Plants. And I am getting some very astute DMs from people being like, yo, it's going to be a Plants off. And I'm like, yo, damn, why are you guys so good? So that's already good. I hope to definitely do a collaboration aplenty, shall we say. Whatever that looks like, I'm not sure yet. We obviously have some new songs that we just have, you know, recorded together, which is cool, and I hope those get played and whatnot. And I'm a huge fan. If you don't know Gorilla Toss, it's spelled G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A, like guerrilla warfare, if you will. And you know, they're signed to Sub Pop. They put out records on DFA. They are like cool as shit. I'm obsessed with them. So go check out their music and go to KarinaRegman.com/tour and join us on the tour in the fall, baby.
I have a question for you.
Talk to me.
You are going on tour in promotion of your debut album, Joyride.
Correct.
And as a result of that, there have been a number of different sort of ad mats and promotional pictures and a kind of way of activating your audience around this tour that feels very different than just a batch of shows in a season like someone would do when they're not touring an album.
Interesting.
What is that like?
That's a fascinating question, Isaac. Well, first of all, I'm glad that you feel that way as a bystander who's just seeing the shit being poured out onto the internet, right?
It's a little bit different than a bystander. Yes.
way different. Correct. But still, you're seeing all the, you know, it's not like I run every ad map by you or every photograph by you before I post it, right? So you're seeing this in real time. So, you know, that's awesome that you feel that way, because I definitely, it's borderline intentional, shall we say, you know, and very much what it feels like is, you know, to have sort of this desire to create a sort of a visual identity beyond the music, right? And have it be, you know, something that's sort of emblematic of what the music sounds like and what the vibe feels like and, you know, who I am and what it's going to be like when you come and see the show and hear the music performed live and whatnot, and all of these things sort of working in tandem together to build a greater picture of the art, you know, is really important to me, you know. And I've definitely, you know, it's one of those things where you try to sort of, you know, we did this photo shoot earlier this year with this guy, Brantley Gutierrez, who I'm a huge fan of. And I've saved all those photos for this rollout, right? Where one of them is used for the album. Some of them are used for, you know, various promo materials and whatnot. All of that stuff that just, you know, God willing, builds a visual identity of me, of the music, of the brand, call it what you will, right? So it feels fucking cool, man. How does it feel? It feels awesome. And it feels great that you have recognized it as such. You know what I mean? It's not just a crop of shows that it's like, whatever, you know, here we go. It's like packaged in a way that hopefully is digestible, appealing, God willing, and like feels like something to the people looking at it. You know what that is? That's up to you, y'all. But shit, it's been cool to like try to cull together this sort of, you know, bombastic yet ethereal, yet surreal, yet tangible, fun, but not too goofy, but a little bit goofy vibe. That's what it's all been, you know. It's just a product of me.
I feel that. I feel that. I've been noticing that.
It's been cool, you know, and it's one of those things where, like, you know, I'm getting less and less shy about just, like, being, it's like, fine, this is, like, what it is. This is the music. Here's the song. This is who I am. This is what it looks like. This is, like, the vibe. So, like, get down or don't. It's all good.
Well, should we talk a little bit about the Follow the Arrow Festival from last weekend?
We should, Isaac. That was so fun. I was lucky to play two festivals last weekend. One was the Northlands Festival up in Swansea, New Hampshire, which was terrific and really a great vibe. We played the Early Bird Special, the first set of the festival on Friday, noon to 1 p.m. And you know what I thought, Isaac? I thought, holy shit, I'm going to be playing to four people. And that could not have been further from the truth, which I thank you all for getting there early. That's ridiculous. There were definitely like hundreds of people waiting for the show to start, which was so fucking epic and cool, and I really didn't see it coming, and I can't thank you guys more. You know, it was super, super cool, and that day was awesome. It was us and Daniel Donato and, oh my God, Doom Flamingo, and then the next day, I mean, and Andy Frasca. There's a lot of great music, and then there was Twiddle and Arebolo and, you know, the String Cheese Incident, Mike Gordon, and you name it. It was really, really a nice thing. So we went from there, drove 3 hours after we played to Woodstock, New York, to hang out with Marco Benevento for his second annual Follow the Arrow Festival in Accord, New York. Just a stone's throw from Woodstock. It's a Hudson Valley vibe. And damn, Isaac, I'm so glad you made it for this one. Because it's a great vibe, isn't it? It's a great little thing that he's got going on.
I was very impressed by how much more than just a little thing it was.
Sure.
It really seemed like it, I don't know, had a lot of community from the area and otherwise that really came for this event specifically and spent the day watching this one stage lineup of fantastic music curated by Marco.
Very much so.
And
yeah.
Marco's presence and personality was all over the event. And I loved your set. I loved seeing the Barr Brothers. You know, that's kind of a rarer appearance these days, and very much a band that kind of brings the scene together, right? I don't know so much about that, but I could tell a lot of people did.
Well, the vibe on that, for like a quick parentheses, is that, you know, I mean, there's a lot of vibes on that, but, you know, this band The Slip, for those who don't know, you know, some people, there's a handful of people I know that think The Slip is like their Grateful Dead, you know what I mean, and they're so in love with the music that this band made. And by the way, this band made some sick fucking records. If you don't know about The Slip, put on Eisenhower by The Slip, and also Alive Electric. That's a live record. Absolutely fucking awesome. And it's these two brothers who are Brad and Andrew Barr, who went to Berkeley with Marco. And that was really Marco's like crew, you know, from 18 to 21 and far beyond, right? So it's really cool to see everybody going off and having careers and playing music for their life, you know, and the roads in which it's taken them all weaving back together to, you know, join forces at Follow the Arrow, right? And The Slip is defunct, sort of. Like, The Slip plays very, very, very infrequently. They played last year at Follow the Arrow, but this year it was the Barr Brothers. So, you know, there are people out there who travel far and wide to see Brad and Andrew Barr do their thing. So that's the parentheses on that, I would just say. That's like, that's a vibe. But I have friends who are just like, they herald, you know, they would say the word Brad Barr in the same sentence as Jerry Garcia, you know what I mean? Which is awesome. And I mean, I am a huge fan, and it is an honor to play music with him and his brother, and I think they are absolutely astounding musicians and upstanding gentlemen.
Well, speaking of that kind of phenomenon in the way that music follows one's life and one's life follows the music, I saw The Cure and Dead & Company this week here in New York City, and it was very much a kind of time that was representative of the history of these two bands. Dead & Company playing the music of the Grateful Dead almost 60 years after the Grateful Dead's inception, and The Cure nearing their 50th anniversary.
That's crazy, actually. I so didn't realize that it was nearing the 50th anniversary of The Cure. That is unbelievable.
Pretty wild. And I saw the first of three shows at the Garden on Tuesday night. It was overwhelming. They played for 3 hours. They have new material that they have yet to release on the very sort of lore-heavy Songs of a Lost World album that is not out yet. But these songs are super just kind of rich and appealing and really carry the show along in a certain way.
Sure, that's cool.
And I don't know, I just wanted to talk about the Cure experience because it was just so
this is, you know, for people in New York City, this has sort of been like you know, a crazy week of these two bands, I would say. You know, it's sort of taken over the vibe of the city in the best way, you know, and people are just like having these absolute insane experiences at The Cure, being like, this is amazing, and they play a 3-hour show, and they played past midnight, and like, you know, the encore might as well have been a whole other set because it's that long, and everybody is so gassed on it. And I'm so glad you were there to tell the story, because I was not. So Isaac, when you see Robert Smith get up there and sing Boys Don't Cry, did he do it?
He did. Yeah, they closed the show.
Fuck?
I saw with that.
Jesus Christ. Is it so sick? Like,
he is so embodied. Like, yeah. He's so sort of himself and present, and you get the sense that he feels the stage is like his living room, and he's an amazing performer, but it's all kind of predicated on his balanced and sincere and embodied energy.
Unbelievable. I mean, everybody who's gone to this has just come away being like, it was one of the best live music experiences I've ever seen, which is so cool. Like, I think that's so amazing. And then to have it going, you know, in tandem, The Cure being, you know, throwing words like goth around, you know, isn't necessarily what I'm trying to do here, but, you know, emblematic of a time where people were dressed in black, wearing black lipstick, you know, the songs are melancholistic. Is that a word?
Melancholy.
Melancholic. That's what I was going for. Oh, good word. Melancholic. Anyway, all of this happening in tandem with very, very big jam band events of the summer. Two nights of Dead & Co. at Citi Field, which is, you know, it's, you know, enormous, basically. And, you know, the juxtaposition of goth people in fishnets and black clothing versus the sea of tie-dye, you know, drug-addled hippies at a baseball stadium eating a hot dog and catching a buzz while spinning around to I Know You Rider. It's a wild thing, and you've enjoyed both things in the last week, and it's such an interesting, you know, sort of dichotomy in the live music, you know, scape in New York right now, which is so cool. But they're, you know, intrinsically linked, I would say, because people are having these sort of, you know, religious music experiences at both things and enjoying sort of, you know, a communal element in a huge way and music that has stood the test of time, clearly. And both, you know, you tell me you were at The Cure, but The Cure, there's a whole, you know, legion of young Cure fans that have sprung up.
Completely.
Correct, right? And you were saying the same about Dead & Company just before we started recording, right? There are kids that have hopped on the bus, Gus. They are good to go, right? Even kids you and I went to high school with, that, you know, when you and I were going to the Heady Jam Band shows, they were looking at us like we had three heads, right? Now, these kids are out here being like, yo, dude, I'm doing all three gorge, bro.
They're having three heads.
They're having three heads. That's what I'm saying. So, like, this is all caught on in, you know, in these ways that we're speaking of. Like, you know, it's like, it doesn't have to catch you at one time. It can catch you at another, man, and people are good to go.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's also, not to harp on this aspect of it, but it is Dead & Company's final tour.
Of course.
Or is being billed that way. And there is a lot to be said for the way in which the audience of the Grateful Dead went and found new bands to follow after the Grateful Dead disbanded when Jerry Garcia died in 1995. And I kind of wonder, these new Grateful Dead fans who are going to see Dead & Company, who are wearing tie-dye t-shirts, who are listening to these jams, and who are catching multiple shows, are they going to go out and find new bands? Is there going to be an influx of that crowd into these other realms? Because some of these newer Grateful Dead enthusiasts and listeners don't really follow these other bands.
Sure. Well, all I can say to that, Isaac, is, you know, from your lips to God's ears, bring it in, baby. Bring them on, you know? Let's, you know, it's a beautiful thing if they get turned on to the Dead, right? And then it just disseminates into God knows what, you know? But they're seeing, sort of like in the way that you saw in the late 90s, an explosion of new jam bands and things like that that people were just, you know, searching for to try and fill the Jerry-sized hole in their heart, right, and whatnot. And, you know, we know what that looks like also in the mid-2000s with Fish and all of the above. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens in a quote-unquote post-Dead & Co. world. What, I mean, you know, we could sit here and speculate all day on what, you know, the remaining members are going to do or not do, but it's going to definitely be interesting to see where the fan base goes in that regard, you know, because obviously it's not small. You said that night two of Citi Field was way sold out. And this is, you guys, this is a stadium, like, this is enormous.
With a huge floor field, general admission, thousands and thousands of people.
And not to mention, like, you know, the nosebleeds at Citi Field, you are paying top dollar to see nothing. Correct?
Correct.
Like, you know, if you can, and I don't know, I feel like I've been there and I've heard, like, the sound just be blown away by a gust of wind. I'm like, oh,
or
there it goes.
Airplane overhead.
Lest we forget, it is very close to LaGuardia Airport. It's really a fascinating thing. But honestly, you know, beautiful to see both bands in, you know, their late, you know, both 40th and late 50th, you know, decade, right, of life as a band, I'm referring to The Cure and Dead & Co., keeping it alive, people are good to go, it seems like everybody's had a great time at these shows, and fucking A, I want to see The Cure next time. I did a terrible job of going to that.
Well, I'm really hoping that they do a proper release of this album.
Yeah.
Put out a lot of promotional materials just like you just did.
Yeah.
To really invite the fans into the world of Songs of a Lost World.
Dude.
And play some shows around it once we have that material in our ears.
I'm so about it. I'm so beyond about it. Wow. Isaac, we really took them on a ride here. This is good stuff, you know? I mean, I feel like we just got to say what's up to RJB right now. RJB, how you doing, dude? Great to hear from you.
What's your favorite Cure record?
What's your favorite Cure record? Absolutely. RJ, you like wearing black one night and like going to The Cure and then like putting on your Heady tie-dye and going to Dead & Co. the next day. It's like awesome. It's like, you know, it's a cross-cultural week here. But it's also, as we've been talking about, intrinsically linked. So anyway, we look forward to going to dinner with you. And thank you for putting us on. We love Osiris. What a beautiful network it is. It's such a lovely ecosystem of sick podcasts about things that we like, music. You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of the vibe. So we thank you, and we thank you, the listeners, and I thank you, the listeners, for being so extra dope this week. My fucking God, I didn't mean to curse, but, you know, I'm just over, like, you know, I'm trying not to get overly, sentimental about it all, but I am overwhelmed with the amount of support that you have shown me in the release of my song, the announcement of this album, the pre-ordering of the vinyl of the record, the, you know, the early bird tickets that you were getting to this tour that doesn't start for 3 months. I'm shocked and awed and overly blessed, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting this, and I hope to, you know, really make you dance your ass off when we come to your town. So thank you, and I look forward to you getting the record on August 18th. Holy shit. And Isaac, there's going to be another single that comes out in July. So watch out. Don't worry, I'm not going to overpromote it like I did Joyride. It's going to be way more subtle. It's going to be like, you know, Robert Smith, like, making you fall into a little ecosystem of his own. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What? What is she saying? I just don't know. Anyway, dude, it's been awesome, man.
It's been great. Until next time.
Until next time. Take care, y'all. Bye. Can't even pitch a tent. I've been jumping turnstiles, hailing taxis with intent. Do you need directions?
Osiris. This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today, such as Liz Stokes of The Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, man, I gotta hear that. Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts. And new episodes come out every Monday.
This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series
about how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app
and subscribe now.